Hi everyone, and welcome to Press X, the Geek Show's dedicated video game podcast. My name's Rob, and joining me today is Andy.
Yes, we've got quite a quiet show, haven't we, today? Yes. Unless you count the voices that we hear in our heads.
I'd never count them.
Uncountable.
Well, technically, yes. I won't admit to how many are there. It's somewhere between 10 and 90.
I thought you were going to say 10 and 19. I'm going to say that's precise. But no, we won't go there.
I'm just giving vague numbers because, yeah. No, I don't have multiple personality. These are, the world speaks to me in strange, mysterious ways.
I don't know what to say that one. Yeah. I look like the sane one, so yeah, that's which is perfectly normal for me.
Which is a rarity, you looking like the sane one.
No. If anybody has listened to past episodes, they know I always tell the truth.
That's a scurrilous lie.
No, it's not.
You don't always tell the truth. When did you last have a Palmo? I forgot you like Palmos. It doesn't work with you.
What am I supposed to say? I'm eating one now.
No. I forgot you like Palmos. That tactic's not going to work with you. You don't feel guilty about your weight or what you eat.
No, I don't wait for no Palmo.
Andy waits for no Palmo. That's a bumper sticker if ever there was one.
Do we have to tell people what a Palmo is if they listen outside of the Middlesbrough area?
No. Enjoy the wonder of Googling it. We're not going to explain. Anyway, this is going to be a shorter show than normal because it is our last Press X podcast. That doesn't mean to say it's the last Press X. We are moving everything over to video format, so things will be continuing on YouTube after this episode in a new and very different manner. And because it's our last, we've only got a couple of games that we want to go through today. And we're going to start off with Andy.
Yes. Well, you know me with my Telltale games, Rob.
Yeah, you seem to be the go-to guy for Telltale these days.
Well, I'm a fan. Even they have had their low times, I think.
Yes.
But my least favourite Telltale games seem to be everybody else's favourite Telltale games.
Which is?
Well, I wasn't too much of a fan of The Wolf Among Us.
Yeah.
People love that. But this one, I think everybody will agree. I've been playing Batman, The Enemy Within.
Now, didn't Telltale do a different Batman Telltale game?
They did the first season called, wait for it, Batman. See? That was smart. But anyway,
I actually thought there was going to be some kind of impressive tagline.
I think it was Telltale Batman, I think it was. But this one is just Batman, The Enemy Within.
See, I've got to say, right, when they say Telltale Batman, it makes him sound like a snitch.
Well, Telltale's Batman.
Yeah.
That just makes him sound like a massive storyteller.
Thing is, it makes him sound like, because Telltale and Tattletale are kind of the same, in the same kind of ballpark, aren't they, when it comes to words? And so it makes Batman sound like a snitch. And you know what snitches get?
Caught?
No, stitches. Snitches get stitches.
That was my weird attempt at trying a Harry Potter reference, just because it was there.
Yes, I know.
But anyway, if anybody played the first season, this is set roughly a year after the events of the first season.
Okay.
And Batman, well, after a nice little break to recuperate, the next villain strikes. This villain was famously played by, was it Jim Carrey in Batman Forever?
Okay, so it's the Riddler then.
Yeah, but not as camp.
This is the thing that always puzzled me about the Riddler. They always kind of try and display the Riddler as this camp supervillain type thing, or this camp villain.
Well, now the Riddler.
The Widdler. Does he go around peeing on everyone's carpet?
And this time, he's more of a hood-wearing saw enthusiast. Not saw as in the implement, saw as in the film, you know, traps and basically just deadly and very, very insane.
He doesn't do the whole kind of television with a puppet on going, do you want to play a game?
Well, no, just no puppet. He likes these, well, similar to what the saw was, he basically tells people to get in chambers, try and figure out his riddle. And in a way, it's a fresh take on Batman because I haven't really seen a bit like, I know I don't read the comics, but I haven't seen a villain like that. And it's really good. There's also like side story to it as well. There's a new, for like an FBI kind of organization that come into it, which again, Batman doesn't really agree with. And it all leads to what I think is an amazing episode. It's a lot better than the first season was.
Who was the main bad guy in the first season?
Oh, who was the main bad guy in the first season? Oh, it was there was the Penguin and the Lady Arkham, but you don't find out the identity of her until the last one, or him.
See, that was one of the problems I had with the first game was number one with the first Batman Telltale game. You would have wanted a more prominent bad guy than Penguin.
Mm.
And Lady Arkham, I'm sorry, but that sounds like some kind of feminine product.
It does, doesn't it?
Sorry, but it does, doesn't it?
Please, can this final episode be a little bit of Lady Arkham?
Lady Arkham, for all your feminine needs.
But anyway, there is another villain that crops up, but he's not really a villain yet. And John Doe, does that ring a bell from the first season?
John Doe?
Yeah.
Okay. Was that the Joker guy?
That was the Joker guy.
Yeah.
And he's been apparently let out of Arkham Asylum for good behaviour, as much as that can be believed. But okay. I have a feeling over the next four episodes, we'll see some, well, truth in that.
Okay, so I've got to ask, was the Riddler ever in Arkham Asylum, or is he just a new bad guy who's arrived in Gotham?
No, he disappeared. Apparently, the main backstory is he disappeared, I think it was 10 years prior to this game, and never came back until now. And, yeah, it's really weird, because you just wonder, why didn't he just come back? But when you look at that, I just forget about that bit and just focus on the story. But anyway, leading on from that though, the gameplay in this, I know it's a Telltale game and technically gameplay is used very loosely. But for example, if anybody has played any of the other Telltale games, more notably the last Batman, you had the areas where Batman is more of a detective, yeah, where you have to pin areas together, clues together, and then you got an end result.
Yeah.
This uses that, but on a totally new scale.
Okay.
It has the same sort of devices where you have to find your clues, connect them to something else, but you have to solve the Riddler's riddles, and you, like, the main one in this is a saw trap, but you have to solve it, and you get quite a lot of clues, and you have to make sure you listen to what the Riddler says, and it's actually really good. And it's not so difficult you have to go looking for answers either.
Okay.
So I do recommend, if you like the first Batman, this is miles better. It's a lot darker, and it's got traps in it.
And the Riddler isn't incontinent.
Well, the Riddler is insane, but
he's not incontinent, though.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm still ever since you said the Riddler at the beginning...
The Riddler. Oh, and in the first Batman, the other villain was Two-Face.
Ah, right, okay. See, ever since you said the Riddler at the beginning, I have just, my brain has been fixated on that, and when you're saying solving the Riddler's riddles, I'm hearing the Riddler's riddles. I'm just thinking, what, is he peeing on the carpet in some kind of corner or something? And just imagining, you know, Alfred, what's that spell? It appears we've been invaded by the Riddler.
There's some weird Monty Python moment there.
Yes. And it's all your fault, Andy. You know how easily my brain is just deviates from...
It's all gone a bit Monty Python.
Batman's incontinent enemy. Or Batman's incontinent nemesis. But is it worth playing, though? Is it worth playing?
Definitely. I recommend... I mean, I haven't been playing it. The episode's longer than last season.
Okay.
It's about 2 hours, so... You're getting a good half an hour more gameplay out of it.
Okay, do you have to have played the first game?
You don't have to, but your choices and people you spoke to, obviously they'll remember you, they'll remember what you've said. And worth noting as well, gone is the old Telltale tradition of, let's just say, so-and-so reacted, or so-and-so will remember that comment. That doesn't happen anymore.
Does it not?
What they've changed it with is your relationship with this character changed. And at the end of the episode, you get from how your relationships with these characters changed.
All right, so it's less of a... It's less obvious how your relationship with the character has changed then.
Yeah, until you get to the end of the episode.
Okay, now, tell you. I like that as an idea. I like that as a mechanic because it keeps the suspense going. Mm. You know, when you're playing through... The old Telltale games. One of the things that bugged me a little bit. You know, when they flash up with so and so remember that or so and so didn't like that.
Yeah.
You know, it was an obvious marker that maybe you should just quit the game there and reload.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously if you want to be in that character's good books, then you need to start over again. But with this, if they're not telling you, then you don't really have as much of an opportunity to do that because you'll be second-guessing yourself, what if you did it right the first time? Mm. So I like that. I like that as an idea. I like that as a mechanic.
But I do recommend it. They have actually released the months of the... Well, rough months of the release dates as well. It's basically August the first one, September next one, October, November, December. So... It's not like you're going to be waiting like 3 months between an episode. So it's definitely worth getting.
Okay. That sounds jolly good. Yeah. So, me is it then?
Yes, it's you now, Rob.
Okay. Now, I have been playing something completely different. Now, back in several years ago, we reviewed Final Fantasy XIV, or I reviewed Final Fantasy XIV. Now... Final Fantasy XIV remains the only MMO that we have actually ever reviewed. We've done a couple of MOBAs. We've done a couple of things like that. I've spoken about EVE time and time again. We've even mentioned World of Warcraft. But the only actual MMO that we've ever reviewed is Final Fantasy XIV. And I've got to say, Final Fantasy XIV was and still is a very good game, a very good MMO. Very good.
So it wasn't the original Final Fantasy XIV you reviewed?
No, it wasn't. Not version 1. Version 1.0 of Final Fantasy XIV, everyone knows, was a dud. Okay? it was not good at all, and everybody is aware of that. But Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn, was very good. Now, I'm not going to talk about A Realm Reborn, because we've talked about that. I'm not going to talk about the first expansion, which was Heavensward. You know, not Heaven's Ward or Heaven's Sword, as some people thought it was a misspelling of Heaven's Sword. Heavensward, as in, you know, if you're going forwards or backwards or, you know, upwards or downwards, you're going Heavensward, you know, it's a direction.
Ah, right.
And it was called Heavensward because it added certain mechanics to the game, like flight. You could now have flying mounts and fly around the map and stuff like that, which was a great addition. And it was, you know... Loads of people were like, ooh, yay, I can fly. Stormblood, on the other hand, is the new expansion, and it's come out around 2 years, almost 2 years exactly, after Heavensward came out. And Stormblood is a very, very different beast, right? See, after Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn, after the main campaign, you go through several patch-based campaigns, which then lead you into... a place called Ishgard. That is where the majority of Heavensward takes place. And it's a big expansion. And it introduces various things. It introduced three new classes that you could play as. And then you got the flying mounts, everything like that. You had a very strong campaign mission, very strong single-player campaign mission, and lots of stuff to do.
Mm.
But then Square Enix decided maybe everything's getting a little bit complicated. So with this new expansion, what they've done is make some fundamental changes to the actual game, and some of those have caused a bit of controversy. Some of those have made things easier for players, right?
Mm.
Now, just some of the features that have been included in Stormblood. The level cap has gone up from 60 to 70 for all disciplines, whether you are a crafter, whether you're a disciple of magic or a disciple of war. Disciple of magic is basically all the wizard, sorcerer class characters. And disciple of war are all the melee and ranged characters like archers and paladins and gladiators, monks, that sort of thing. They're all disciples of war, right? So you have those characters, but the level cap for them characters has actually been raised from 60 to 70. And it takes a while to level up from 60 to 70, but we'll get to how enjoyable it is an experience or not, depending on your perspective. The actual combat system is one of the fundamental things that's been changed. Now, it used to be the case where you could cross-class. And what I mean by cross-classing is you could take skills from Disciples of the Land and Disciples of the Hand, basically crafters and gatherers, or skills from the Schools of Magic, and use them in the melee classes, in the Disciple of War classes, right? Mm. So I had basically a paladin, but my paladin was hard as nails, or it used to be hard as nails, because I could basically cast magic on myself. I could cast certain spells which improved and enhanced my defenses and my attack and gave me the ability to inflict status ailments on whatever thing I was fighting. Yeah?
Mm. Yeah.
But the combat system has been simplified now, so that a lot of these skills, a lot of job and class-based skills have been combined to make things easier and simpler for you to basically fight. And it is a lot more streamlined. It is a lot more accessible, especially for newer players. But I kind of miss the fact that I could customize my character like that.
Mm.
You know, I could basically have my, my class the way I wanted it to be, the way I liked it being, because I'm very much an independent spirit. You know, I'm very much an independent character. I don't belong to any guild. I have joined a couple of guilds to see what it was like for the purposes of review. I've joined raids, done PvP, stuff like that. But I'm very much my own character. And I've been like that in every MMO I've ever played. Right? When I was playing Eve, I joined a friend's corp because he's the one who got me playing Eve. But I was never involved in any of the action of the corp. I was basically off doing my own thing, you know, salvaging ships and making raids by myself, exploring, you know, different areas of the Eve universe. And I'm the same in Final Fantasy XIV. I'm basically doing my own thing, not getting involved with other guilds or raids or anything like that, just doing my own thing and enjoying myself being this free spirit, this drifter, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I enjoy about Final Fantasy XIV, is that I have the freedom to do that. And I have every single job in the game, right? Including the two new jobs of Red Mage and Samurai. And both of them are a little bit overpowered, I'd say, right at the beginning, until they've basically done a little bit of rebalancing. The Red Mage and Samurai jobs are a little bit overpowered. They've added these things in called like a job gauge, where you basically, once you fill the gauge, you can pull off a job-based or class-based attack that's specific to that job or class. So paladins have two. They have an oath gauge, which is either for a shield oath or sword oath, and it fills up depending on which one you're using at the time, you know, shield oath or sword oath. And once it's filled up, you can unleash an attack or a defensive skill that will actually be really helpful in combat, in PvE. Maybe not so useful in PvP, but I'm not going to talk much about PvP because PvP has been nerfed a little bit. Again, it was one of those areas where you could do custom builds and pull off really convoluted and intrepid tactics during PvP. You could do things like that in the old PvP format. But now that they've simplified things and they've streamlined things, a lot of those old strategies and combinations have kind of gone out the window. And there has been a little bit of backlash from the PvP community. But, you know, I think they'll settle down. Because I think right now, I'm enjoying PvP a bit more than I used to in Final Fantasy XIV. Because it is a lot more streamlined. One of the things that bugged me a little bit about 14, and one of the things that bugs me about MMOs in general, is you have a certain crowd who would class themselves as hardcore gamers who are, they feel like they have a certain degree of entitlement. And so if you're not up to their standards, they will say things or do things that kind of piss you off. You know, I was doing a raid with a group and a couple of them were basically slagging me off in the party chat because I'd never done the raid before and I didn't have a clue why I kept dying.
That's what really annoys me with MMORPGs. I've played Final Fantasy XIV a few years ago.
Yeah.
And the other one that I played was Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah.
And I really like the game. I mean, yeah, you can bump into the odd player and talk to them and things like that, but I always like just doing things myself or with a mate, you know, that I already know.
I'm exactly the same. Yeah, I would much prefer to run dungeons and do raids and, you know, do PvP with people I know. And this is the thing, that's a gripe that everybody who plays MMOs have. Anyway, the Red Mage is basically, it's kind of a combat and magic combined class. And that's one of the reasons why it's been extremely popular, because it's kind of harking back to the old kind of builds that I used to really enjoy. Samurai is a pure kind of damage-based class, and it is literally a samurai. You have a big sword, and you basically slice people and slice enemies into quivering chunks of flesh in a flashy way with lots of light effects and stuff like that. There are a bunch of new areas, a bunch of new locations, and those are the Ruby Sea, Yansha, which is the home to Doma and the Azim Steppe, Aru, the Fringes, the Peaks, the Locks, and various other things like that. Two new cities to explore, Ralgar's Reach in Garabania and Kugane in Higashi. Kugane is very much a kind of Japanese-type place, which if you're a fan of Japanese culture or anime or manga or something like that, you'll really enjoy that area because it is very traditional medieval Japan type place and it is very, very pretty, especially on a sunny day. The weather effects have been enhanced. Now, I don't think a lot of people realize this, but the weather effects have been enhanced and the weather can last a little bit longer than it used to. It used to be the case where sometimes the weather would only last for like a few hours and then it'd disappear, but now the weather can actually last for a couple of day-night cycles. There's new types of housing in because of these two new areas. There's two new beast tribes, so you've got new beast quests that you can do, two new primals, and they're kind of badass, these two new primals. They're not as hard as some of the other primals, some of the other kind of big spiritual boss character type things that you do as part of the storyline. These two new primals, one is called Susano, which is the one from Higashi, which is the Japanese area, and the other one is called Lakshmi, which is Lady of Bliss, which is from Ralgar's Reach, or that sort of area. Anyway, the Lakshmi primal is for the Ananta tribe, which is a serpentine tribe, and the Kojin, which is the tortoise-like tribe, which I suppose is supposed to be a bit like the Kappa from Japanese myth. They're the ones who have the Susano primal. These primals, because they've introduced a new thing with these primal raids. The main tank, for example, with Susano, the main tank can get hit by a massive, massive sword, which covers pretty much the entire length of the combat area. And the main tank's job then is to basically go into a quick time event and hold the sword off while the rest of the party have to try and knock the sword away from the tank before it deals massive damage to the tank, which is new addition, right? It's a new thing that I've not seen before, and you know what? It's bloody effective. It really raises the tension during combat, especially during the raids. And they've got another one for Lakshmi where she gathers everybody into this ball of energy, and she becomes like a giant type thing, which covers the entire arena and gathers everyone up towards her face and stuff like that. And it's all creepy and stuff. And it's intense. Some of the effects that they've done have been very, very good. Now, I've got to give Square Enix some praise for Final Fantasy XIV, especially for Stormblood. One of the things that keeps me coming back to this game is the single-player campaign, right? I've said from day one, they've done a damn good single-player campaign. And when you get right down to it, after you've done the PvP, after you've done the raids, after you've done the exploration, what else is there about an MMO to keep you interested?
Yeah. Pretty much the same.
Yeah. And for a lot of the MMOs that are around right now, things like the single player campaign, you know, the story campaign, they put that as a much lower priority than things like PvP. And I think that that's incorrect. I think that what Square Enix have done is the best way forward. They basically put PvP and stuff like that on a lower tier than the actual campaign, because the campaign is what keeps you coming back. The campaign is what you do during bouts when you're sick of fighting other players, sick of doing raids, sick of doing all that stuff. You go and do side quests, you don't go and do the campaign, don't you? And if the campaign isn't compelling, if the campaign doesn't tell a good story, doesn't have good characters, then you're not going to be invested in it and you're probably going to quit in the game.
Oh, definitely.
And I'll tell you something, right? Final Fantasy XIV has one of the best storylines in the original A Realm Reborn and in Heavensward. It has some of the best stories, some of the best storylines of any Final Fantasy game. Yep. There's a real sense of... you get a real sense of the characters. There's lots of voiceover work in this. There's a lot of very good voiceover work in this, in fact, in the Heavensward expansion, in the Stormblood expansion, and in the original Realm Reborn. There's some very good voiceover work. They've really paid attention to the dialogue. The music is phenomenal. The music is absolutely stupendous. It is probably the strongest point of the Final Fantasy XIV experience throughout all of the expansions and the re-release of the original game. The music has always been the strongest point, and the music is so diverse for different areas, different dungeons, different raids, different bosses, different sections of the story, you know, the different introductions. There is so much music. Everything is so atmospheric as well. And the graphics, okay, the graphics have improved on Stormblood. They have done a lot of fine detail work, which is, you know, really, really good. And the areas look phenomenal. I'm playing it on the PS4 Pro, and it looks amazing on the PS4 Pro, but I have seen Stormblood on a high-end PC as well, and it's so much better.
Yeah, it looked great.
It's so much better. There's so much to do in Stormblood. There's loads of new side quests that you can do. There's loads of things to see and do. Now, there is a thing that I want to bring up, just to round things off. Stormblood starts at level 60, right? And if you're getting into Final Fantasy XIV now, it can seem a bit intimidating going from the beginning of the Realm Reborn campaign all the way through that, all the way through Heavensward, and then onto Stormblood. It can seem a bit intimidating leveling up a character to level 60.
Right? You have to level up before it starts.
Yes, there are level caps, there are level brackets, there are level limits. Certain missions you can't unlock until you reach that level. But there are systems in place that can speed your leveling. There are systems in place that allow you to power level, and those systems haven't really been changed, which is helpful. There's the mentor system, which was introduced a while ago, which is also very, very helpful. But there is also another thing. Now, I would not recommend buying this, I'd say take the slow path, because the slow path, you can stop and enjoy the scenery, right?
Mm.
The slow path is basically you start from the beginning, you level up through all of the story campaigns, and you enjoy the story, and you take your time. There is no rush. The game's not going anywhere, not for a while. But you also have the option, because Square Enix introduced this, there is a thing you can buy for real money that allows you to skip over all of those levels and level straight to 60 and the beginning of Stormblood.
Mm.
Now, even Square Enix has said it's probably not a good idea to do this because you'll miss out on a lot of content and a lot of achievements and a lot of things like that. And I kind of agree with them.
Yeah, does that mean you literally skip the original story as well?
Basically, like, yeah. You can go back and watch it afterwards, but you know, all of the effort that goes into the original story, all of the side quests, all of the little things like that, you'll skip over all of that, and I don't see the point of that. I prefer just taking my time. I mean, I have every character, I have every class, I have every job. I've got so much to do, and this is one of the great things about Final Fantasy XIV, right? And probably the greatest thing about Final Fantasy XIV that I could name, if you get bored of fighting, you can go off and just go fishing. You can become a fisherman or a miner or a botanist, go out, chop down trees, you know, a lumberjack. Or you can just become a crafter or a cook or something like that.
Oh, well.
And you can just spend your time doing that. And the fact that you don't, you're not limited in that way. You can just, all it is basically quick equipment change, which is easy to do. And there you go. You're automatically in crafting mode. And you can just sit there and make stuff for a while and just have an evening of just making stuff or an evening of just fishing.
Sounds good.
And that is the greatest thing about Final Fantasy XIV still. And long may it remain. So I do hope they never change that, because that is one of the reasons I still play the game, is because I have the choice. And I think that's what people want, is the choice. Yes, they've streamlined things, they've made it easier for new players, they've added new content, two new jobs, two new classes. They've made things easier, they've nerfed things in a way, but not really nerfed it, because they've combined things together, they've combined skills together, which makes some skills a lot more powerful than they used to be. And it does require new tactics and a new approach with this new expansion, but there's still a lot there to recommend it. And I've recently, earlier this year, I went back and I gave World of Warcraft another try. And I gave Elder Scrolls Online a try as well. And you know what?
Hmm?
I still prefer Final Fantasy XIV.
It was fun. From what the few hours more than a few hours, I played, like, when the trial came out, I played it for quite a bit.
Yeah.
It was quite fun.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, it's the freedom, I think. It's the freedom to go where you want, do what you want, be what you want. And I think that is the thing that keeps dragging people to the game, is that freedom. I mean, I know there's a lot of new MMOs on the market, like Black Desert Online and Revelation Online is coming out at some point. And, you know, there's the new Terror game coming out, and there's all sorts of others. There's Ark Survival Evolved and stuff like that. There's loads and loads of MMOs out there. And a lot of those are free to play, right?
Mm.
You've got in-game purchases, but a lot of those are free to play. So why is it, in amongst all those free-to-play MMOs, why is it that Final Fantasy XIV, a game that you have to pay a subscription for, continues to outperform them?
Apparently you can play for free up to level 35, I think, now.
Yeah.
I think it's something like that anyway. But that's still an incentive to get into it. And if you like it, then you do play it.
Well, if you get hooked, then you're hooked, aren't you?
Mm.
So, yeah, that's Final Fantasy XIV Stormblood. It's enjoyable as hell. It's pretty as anything. Oh, there is also something else before I forget. This is a fundamental change. You can go swimming.
Okay.
Not only can you swim, you can also dive below the waves and explore the underwater world. There's not much to see or do underwater, I'll be honest. It'd be nice if you could get into fights underwater with, you know, the odd sea creature, or maybe, you know, maybe punch a shark or something like that. I don't know. It would be interesting. But the fact that you can go swimming is, it was a new one on me, It's not the same kind of thrill. It's not the same kind of rush as flying was right at first. But still, it's novel because, everyone's so focused on flying. Everyone's so focused on adding flight to their MMOs. And here's Square Enix going the other direction, going, you can swim in ours. Next, I want them to add climbing. I want them to add proper climbing mechanics and turn it into, turn it into some weird version of like Assassin's Creed where I can run across rooftops of the cities. But I'm going to be dressed as a fisherman running across the rooftops like a ninja just for the idiosyncrasy, just for that dissonance value. I'm going to do that if they ever add that. I'm going to be in like a sou'wester and a bright yellow, rain hat with my fishing pole running across the rooftops like some kind of bright yellow, smelly, fishy ninja. And this is the thing. The game would allow me to do that as long as they don't make like changes to certain fundamental things. The game would probably allow me to do that. See what I mean about choice? So yeah.
Recommend it then?
Yeah, I do. I do. I will always recommend Final Fantasy XIV up until the time when they make fundamental changes that finally piss me off and make me want to punch someone, which they haven't done in 5 years. So it's looking good so far.
That's good.
So yeah, today we had Batman, Telltale game. Batman, The Enemy Within, Telltale game series. Not the Batman Telltale game series. Batman, The Enemy Within. You got to keep me right on these things. And Final Fantasy XIV's latest expansion, Stormblood. Also, the intro video to Stormblood is pretty cool. So, yeah, that's those. We have been Press X for the final time as a podcast.
Yes.
We may do a couple of random little ones, so look out for other Press X podcasts, possibly, only possibly in the future, because a lot of our stuff is going to be on YouTube now, so look for us more on YouTube than on the audio channels, because that's where we'll be. That'll be our new home. Until you see us on there, I have been Rob.
I've been Andy.
And from all of us at the Geek Show Podcast Network, we have been Press X. All of our shows are available on Audio Boom or iTunes or the podcast provider of your choice. And if you are listening through any of those, then subscribe to the Geek Show Podcast Network. We also have a Patreon up and running. You'll find the link on our website, thegeekshow.co.uk. If you're a regular listener of the Geek Show Podcast Network or of any other podcasts on the network, then please show your support, make a donation, subscribe to our Patreon. It will help us get the equipment we need so we can keep bringing you this quality content. Take care, have fun, don't play anything we wouldn't play. And we'll see you all again very soon on YouTube.